All right, good evening, everybody, or good day, wherever you are. Welcome to this episode of O365A. On today's episode, we're going to look at a fantastic new product called Teams Boss, and it's backed by our very own Michael LaMontagne. So Teams Boss, in a nutshell, is a management offering product, and it can operationalize Teams management and support. And I'll leave it at that, and I'll turn it over to Michael. Maybe you can explain just high level what it is, and then we'll dive into a demo and see how it can really help users.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit different of our normal podcast. I'm going to show like three slides, but we'll jump into a demo. So yeah, so Teams Boss has gone general availability. It's been a kind of a passion project, just kind of working with enterprises of all sizes and kind of struggles dealing with, phone systems, teams that were maybe supporting the traditional PBX like Cisco and Avaya, and now they're coming into the Microsoft world and having to learn PowerShell, learn Graph, do the admin center, dealing with the roles that they need to manage the services that they were kind of doing before. So really our mission is to basically enable architects and service providers and customers to really empower non-experts to effectively manage the Teams implementation. And so if we think about that, that is that kind of day two on support. So we're not looking to, do the provisioning of direct routing and then attendant configuration and domain adds at this time with this product. This is really, the voice architect and the team has implemented the tenant configuration, the policies, the number management, and then is going to hand the keys over to the customers and really have the customer deal with the operational day-to-day kind of nourishment of the service.
Yeah, so just to recap that last point, so the implementation, the initial rollout's done. This tool, which is 100% SaaS, right?
That's correct.
It's used for the ongoing management of the phone system implementation, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is really for, kind of removing all those different silos we had. So, if you're doing direct routing, you manage it one way, maybe you have a spreadsheet to manage inventory. And if you're an operator connect, you maybe, are trying to figure out how to do number assignment at mass. So we really wanted a single interface to manage all the service types, as well as all the user types. So some of the challenges that kind of brought us in to originally build this tool was some of the reoccurring struggles that customers had. So the voice expert was doing all the changes. So we have a new user, a user left, we need to move a number, contacting the expensive consultant, or taking the cycles from your key architects, and to do these day-to-day operations was not effective use of that time. Also, PowerShell. So we think about all the changes that have occurred with PowerShell. Also, the kind of the way the commands have been changing over the last 6 months. So there's been a lot of change going on there. And then, of course, if you're putting all your number management in Excel and that Excel document gets corrupt, or someone moves a cell or copies things around, all of a sudden everything is incorrect. There's risks there. So, I was a fan of the Excel migration. I'm not sure. We have lots of sessions on talking about, voice implementation and using like formulas to concatenate to generate the PowerShell commands in Excel. And you could just quickly copy and paste. But when the commands are changing, it's like all your customers reach out back to you and say, hey, these commands no longer running. How do we change our documents? So there was a lot of struggle around that. And as I mentioned, PowerShell. So PowerShell, I think in the last 6 months has had more challenges than probably the last 6 years when we think about voice management and kind of the Microsoft UC. And that's all just because, the Skype for Business Online stuff is going away. So there is the evolution of the Teams PowerShell module and removing that old PowerShell module. But there's a lot of changes. So you have to be on specific versions and specific deadlines of moving to new commands. Like the old set CS user has gone away as of like a couple of weeks ago. So they're, you know, customers are even still now, they've been ignoring the warnings for months, and now they're trying to enable users, and they're struggling with the new commands. So our goal was really, you know, let's build a portal that is designed specifically for voice management, so phone system management, at least for now, and go through the nuances of how a voice admin would look at managing users and phone numbers and policies, and policies. And so kind of a little bit different, because if you look at the Teams Admin Center, you know, a lot of those functionalities in the Teams Admin Center, but it is in different menus and you're having to jump around. We really wanted to focus on scenarios. So, you know, the first scenario is let's get rid of PowerShell, going into PowerShell, just do all individual user changes and bulk changes within a portal. And let's focus on kind of the voice delivery end to end. And then from there, we'll go into other scenarios with our roadmap and talking about shared devices, talking about, you know, monitoring and stuff like that. So we have quite a bit of roadmap, but our first goal was let's tackle the voice kind of system side end to end.
So, Michael, like when you're talking about this, is it more for like a single instance customer? So, like you know, one customer can use it sort of at a time, or do you have any plans, or can it be used for like a multi-tenant kind of management where I'm a CSP and I manage multiple tenants and I manage all of their telephony, et cetera? Like, is that ability there as well?
Yeah, because our tool supports calling plans, Operator Connect, and direct routing, we are already having conversations with some providers on how they could use this tool for their customers to kind of give that, you know, that self-service portal to manage these services versus having, you know, a lot of professional services to get customers up and running. We do have, you know, the plans for like an MSP model. We do have some scenarios where carriers can put numbers into tenants, into Teams Boss. So we have a lot of scenarios right now, but right now the kind of the, what you can get from teamsboss.com is a one customer type scenario, but we do have some partners that are building out their models as well.
Nice.
And Michael, just really quick, what does onboarding look like? I guess I go to teamsboss.com, I sign up, global admin rights, team engineer support rights. What type of RBAC's required?
Yeah, so let's get right out of the slides. Let's get out of slideware and go right to it. So yeah, if you go to teamsboss.com, you can just hit login. It is going to be a Graph Consent app. So you will need to have the ability to consent to an application. So it's probably going to be your tenant admin if they put any kind of restrictions on apps. Once you do that, and so in my scenario, I've already consented to the app, but I'm just going to accept this. So you can go and sign up for a free trial, a 30-day trial. We are going to be listed in the Azure Marketplace. So once your trial is up, you can go to the Azure Marketplace and purchase it. So we can leverage your existing Azure subscriptions. We're also going to be listed in AppSource. So again, another Microsoft store that you can purchase this without an Azure subscription. So you can see I just signed in pretty seamlessly. What it's going to do is, you know, regardless of where you are in your team's journey, regardless of what PSTN type you're using, we're going to pull what's your current config. So that's going to be all the phone numbers from Operator Connect and Direct Route, or sorry, for Operator Connect and calling plans that are in your tenant and the assignments. And then any numbers that are assigned to users on the direct routing side, any emergency addresses, of course, direct routing numbers that are not in your tenant assigned to a user, we have a way to manage that inventory as well. But yeah, Kurt, to your question about the app consent. So we are an Azure application. So that means at any time you can remove the app and block all access. But we are not using stored username and passwords. We're not storing tokens. So we are running as delegated permissions. So that means the user that signs into the portal, we're using a session token within the browser to only do the actions that user needs to be. So you do need to be either global admin, Teams communication administrator, or Teams administrator so that you can manage voice. If you have a role that's less than that, of course, you can't go into here. We're not going to give you additional permissions beyond what you're already authorized for. So the portal only runs as the active user with their token. And as soon as they close that session, it's stored in session storage. So then that token's gone. And then there's no offline access to your tenant or anything like that. So the idea is this would be the same if you were to open a PowerShell. So if I'm a Teams admin, I launch PowerShell. I'm going to authenticate to my tenant. You know, once I close that window, that session is done.
And Michael, so you're pulling the information from the tenant, and then is it stored in Teams Boss?
Yeah, so any identifiable information is only stored in the session of the browser. So if you open another browser session, it's not going to have the same access to what was here. So we use session storage for that. Now, there is things like the object ID and the phone number side for direct routing that we do store in Cosmos storage that's unique for the customer tenant and can be purged when the customer leaves. So we make sure we don't have any of that identifiable information, but we do need to keep the inventory for direct routing purposes.
Got it.
So if we kind of jump in, we can see that maybe I'll start with phone numbers. So phone numbers will pull all that's in the tenant. So calling plans, operator connect, service numbers, user numbers, the numbers that are assigned. If we want to see numbers that are maybe on the direct routing side that are not assigned to users and we just wanted to put our blocks in so we can get rid of spreadsheets, we can just add in our ranges. I'm just going to add a couple here. Different ranges. We support extensions as well on the direct routing side. We can give it a label, so it could be like carrier one, it could be your provider, it could be SBC one North America, it could be carrier / the rate center if you're looking. So maybe it's Rogers, Calgary, or maybe whatever, however you want to label that. This is really just used for filtering and assignment. We can put the numbers under reservation. So if you have a new project and you have a block of 50 numbers that are meant for a new site, we can reserve those so they don't get assigned. And then we can also do class override. So this is from Staly's kind of logic of like, hey, this is a gold number versus a bronze number based on the number pattern in the digits. So you may not want to give an intern a number that has a whole bunch of zeros in it. You may want to save that for like a departmental phone number or a main line. So we have that classification, but you can always override that. So if, hey, we're porting in 50 403 numbers, area code 403 from Calgary, those are hard area code numbers to get. So you may want to reserve that as a gold classification just to let you know, don't throw them out as like candy. So yeah, we can add that. We also support instant search. So if we were looking at the area code, I don't have 403s in here, so 587. We want to look at maybe 1857. Maybe we want to look at New York. So we have search across that. We also search across users, so we can see that there was an Alex here. So we can try Alex. We can jump over to that user, and we'll show that in a minute. So we can manage all our number inventory across all our services in one place. We can go under profiles. So profiles, if I was a new customer coming in here, we have the option to do suggested profiles. And so what profiles are is a combination of policies. So this could be persona based, like, hey, executive versus field worker versus, information worker, or it could be location based or a combination. So it could say, Calgary contact center agents or North America users or whatever that scenario is. So if we hit suggestions, what it's going to do is pull the matrix of all your different policies and say, based on your user configuration, these are the profiles that you should create so that you can create more users like those users. So in this case, we have a generic one that's just global. So maybe we'll create that global. We have one for New York. Let's see. One for Calgary, maybe we'll just put this under North America. So we can add those profiles. So now we can apply that profile to a user and they'll get all those policies that match that. So if we think about that, that could be, the voice routing policy to a specific direct routing provider. It could be the dial out that we talked about in our, you know, one of our episodes of controlling the outbound calling, domestic, international, 911, so on operator connect and calling plans. We can have dial plans. So if we have like, hey, Spain, we need a different dial plan for Spain. We have our Teams calling policies, emergency policies, our caller ID override. So you may have contact center agents that represent a number going outbound. We have the ability to kind of build that profile. We can also filter numbers. So now when we think about, hey, we want to, you know, empower the help desk to come in here and enable, you know, a new user. So Jim is a new user and Jim is coming into to Calgary. We can then apply the Calgary profile and then filter the numbers to that specific region as well. And so that can be filtered by the emergency addresses for calling plans and Operator Connect. It can be filtered by the carrier so that, you know, that information that's pulled from calling plans is going to be Microsoft. The carriers for direct routing will be whatever for Operator Connect will be whatever carriers you have. And then those labels that we talked about when we were adding the direct routing numbers, we can use that as a filter criteria as well. So if we go under a user, we can see that we have some users signed already configured. So maybe we'll go under Adele. So we pull the licensing information, we pull the location, we have the profiles. So if we wanted to apply a profile to the user, we also have the phone number information, the filters for unassigned numbers, locations, carriers, you know, is it an ordinary phone number or a gold phone number? Change the emergency address if it's a calling plan or direct operator connect. We don't currently have the ability to change emergency addresses because Operator Connect doesn't support that. When it does, we will enable that as well. And then all the policies here. And so the benefit here is now as I'm coming in to enable a new user, so we can go under Alan, and we say, you know what, Alan's going to be enabled in North America. We'll set all the policies to what they should be. And we do like a DSC. So we say, based on everything that the user currently has and what you're trying to do, these are the changes that we're going to do. And then we do pre-checks. So we will make sure that we don't assign a calling plan number to a user that doesn't have a calling plan license. We make sure that we don't show direct routing numbers for users that are licensed for calling plans. We make sure that, you know, only Operator Connect numbers are shown for users without calling plans. So we do all that logic to make sure that the end support team doesn't have to think about that.
So Michael, on the licensing side, if a user doesn't have a license, do you display that, you know, in here that they don't have a license so you can't assign it? And or I guess, will you be able to, or are you guys thinking about giving the ability to assign a license to a user?
Yeah, so we do flag it. So we do have a status icon on the main screen, and we also have a status when you edit the user. So if the user had no Teams license or no phone system license, we'll flag that. If the user doesn't have a calling plan license, and we won't show calling plan numbers. So we show all that logic. You know, if the user was migrated from on-prem to online and they have the SIP fed information showing them that they're still on-prem, we'll flag that as well. So we try and do any check that would fail assigning a number to a user. And I can't remember the second part of your question.
No, I was just thinking like if somebody wasn't licensed or like
License assignment. So right now we built the tool to use the least amount of graph permissions and only run as the user context. And so what we find is if we start getting into license assignment, we start having to ask for more permissions than you know, typically what security is going to, you know, all kind of allow the network team to kind of, you know, come in to do voice management. Also, we see a lot of the enterprises are moving to group-based licensing. So we do have some logic that we're going to pull, you know, groups to assign profiles to and do some of that aspect. So, you know, so, hey, what's the next available number to a user that has this profile based on groups? But the actual license assignment, you know, at this point, we don't think that that's something that we want to do in this tool, just because of the complexities and the additional permissions. But yeah, group-based licensing is kind of our go-to. But we'll flag licensing.
So. That would make sense. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then we have, you know, instant search across everything. So, you know, if you look up Lee, if you look up part of the phone number, so maybe 86, So we wanted to make this as easy as possible to kind of maintain. We also have the ability to, you know, dump all the config from a user perspective and phone number perspective. So simply hit download CSV and I'll kind of show what that looks like. So if we look here, it's not pretty, but it's a CSV, but we pull all the information. So we pull the UPN, we pull the licensing assignment, the user type, because, you know, we do all these checks to see, you know, is this user an on-prem user with a, you know, failed status? We want a flag for that. We check if they're licensed correctly as a virtual user or the resource account. We check if they're enabled, so we won't try and enable users that are, you know, or try put phone numbers on users that are disabled. We pull all the policy matrix. This is the same policies that we use to kind of build out the profiles. We also do suggested profiles. So suggested profiles are similar to what we were showing in the other screen. So we say, based on the profiles you created, when we download the all the users, these are the profiles that align. And so you could just basically, you know, copy this column, paste it into the other column, and then re-upload it. And we go in and enable those, all those users to have that profile. We also put the phone numbers, so, you know, Operator Connect, calling plans, direct routing that are assigned. We pull all that information as well. Okay. We also have the ability to upload. So if we upload for bulk management, so I will grab just one example. We do all those pre-checks. So we'll say, you know, based on this user, based on what you're asking to do, these are the changes we need to do. So we exclude anything that's already configured. And we then kind of show you kind of that desired state. And we'll go through and check if everything's okay. So in this scenario, we're simply, you know, setting a whole bunch of policies manually. I'll show that as well. And we're sending phone numbers to users. So this is kind of the easy way to do it is, you know, hey, we just have a bunch of users. We want to put some phone numbers and here's the policies we care about. Another scenario could be, hey, we want to do profiles. And so we're going to simplify our requirements. And so if we look at what that CSV looks like, it's basically three columns, right? So we have the UPN, the phone number, and the profile, and then that profile is going to set all these different policies in different ways. And so when we look at that, we can see valid phone number because I didn't put that in my tenant. 1 second. That's what happens when you're doing a demo and you don't add phone numbers, but that's fine. So in that scenario, but we do checks, right? So an example of errors would be, you know, if I grab an error file that's full of them, these are just some of the pre-checks we do. So, hey, we're trying to assign a calling plan number to a non-calling plan number to a calling plan user, or we're trying to send a calling plan number to a direct routing user, or we have incorrect information. We do all those checks before you send that up to Microsoft to, you know, try and decipher those errors. So we do all those checks. We also do monitoring. So if we think about the scenario where we maybe apply a policy. In this case, we can see that we're going to change the dialout to global. Let's make a note of that. So we have this profile applied. Now, if someone goes into the admin center or PowerShell and changes something, so if I change this on Adele, let's go find Adele. We'll just change a bunch of policies. So we're going to go under policies. We're going to edit them. So we're going to say, let's see what we have for a good one. Caller ID policy. Maybe we'll change the voice routing policy. And then maybe we'll change the, let's see if there's another one, calling policy. So now if we go in here and refresh again, I mean, that's pretty quick. We'll wait for kind of Microsoft replication, but you can see the status is showing that it's not healthy. We go under the user, we can see what is wrong, and we can just hit update, and it resyncs all the settings. I know there's a lot to run through, and there's so much more, but definitely wanted to kind of show how we're trying to tackle kind of that phone system management.
Yeah, that's great, Michael. I maybe more of a plug for the product, but certainly a lot of the customers I deal with, I'm working with a lot of colleges and universities at the moment, all trying to do voice, and they all kind of fit the description of, you know, they've got lots of administration that doesn't necessarily have the PowerShell expertise. So this always comes to mind, and you know, we've showed them the product as well for a couple of them, and I think that's where the great fit for something like this is in those scenarios, because I'm constantly getting chat messages, which is fine, you know, hey, how do I do this again, or this isn't working, and you know, that just adds up when you think about the changeover of students, for example, in these organizations, and faculty and staff every 12 months. Like this could really shave a lot of time off for these organizations.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, a lot of the customers I dealt with, you know, over the last couple of years, you know, get them all the documentation, the screenshots that they empower their teams, and then PowerShell, the PowerShell module is a moving target, right? And so now it's a different, you know, command, but even, hey, we have customers moving from calling plans and direct routing to Operator Connect. And now it's like, how do we easily know what numbers are available in this location and easily assign those numbers to a user, right? So now, you know, we can go in here and see what our available number inventory is, you know, depending on the service. We can filter it down by location. So we think about, you know, some of the different screens where we had to go to our emergency addresses before, see the number inventory, find the, you know, that number, or let's see what those numbers are, then go to the phone number page and see if it's unassigned, and then find the user and then assign it. You're kind of bouncing around all over the place. So the idea was, like, if you're in this one screen, you know, the end goal is to assign a number to a user. We're going to make sure you don't have to jump it elsewhere.
Are you able to talk at all about licensing or pricing at this point, or are you still trying to get feedback from customers on the initial?
Yeah, I mean, our pricing model is, I mean, it's going to be published in the Azure Marketplace shortly. And so our pricing model is basically a tiering model, but we auto scale. So if it's, you know, one to 500 numbers, it's a certain cent or cost per user or per phone number per month. And then what happens is, as you go up in tiers, we reduce the overall pricing. So we kind of error on the side of benefit of the scaling side. So we don't say, hey, the first 50 numbers are this cost and the next 100 numbers are this cost. We kind of say, as you cross those tiers, we'll just charge the same rate across all your numbers. And it's because it's an Azure SaaS subscription, it basically will do all the calculations and invoice you the same way as your Azure subscription.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's no vendor relation setups or anything like that we need to go through. You can purchase it right through your Microsoft agreements.
That's great. Just thinking of everything you showed, I really like the showing the steps to get to the desired state configuration, because when I've configured voice, and I don't do it often, there's just so many things, from licensing to the proper policies to the proper numbers being assigned. So it's nice to see for each user what's going to be done. Which had me wondering, is there any audit log of what was done in the tool?
Yeah, so we are capturing that right now. We're not showing it in the portal, but that is one of our roadmap items, is to expose, you know, who made what change and what date.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. All right, well, that was super. Do you know, Habib, any other questions?
No, I think that was great.
Yeah, just go to teamsboss.com, try it out, provide your feedback. We have a chat right on the page, so you can send in your requests. We're definitely aggressively adding functionality in different scenarios, so we welcome all.
Awesome. Well, look forward to seeing what it looks like months from now, and it looks fantastic now. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the demo of Teams Boss, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.